What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Face Your Freedom Show. I am your host, James Weston, and I am here with our very special guest, Marissa Romero. Guys, today we're going to be talking about YouTube, how to start a YouTube channel, how to grow that channel, how to figure out what keywords to work with, everything YouTube. Marissa is an absolute expert. She went from essentially an engineer with a lot of student debt to doing over six figures online, and she's an absolute master when it comes to YouTube. How many subscribers do you have now? Something around?
124,000.
Goodness. Oh my gosh. Okay. So she definitely knows what she's doing. We're going to jump into it. Marissa, why don't we start off with just a little bit of your background so people know that you're just a regular person who went to college, did your thing. You didn't go to YouTube University or school or anything like that. Where did you start?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. Absolutely. It's a true honor to be here. So I started, my first online entrepreneur experience started with e-commerce, actually. I did that for a year. That was my first business model online. So I did Shopify, drop shipping, but I got super burnt out with that. And I saw the direction the cost of Facebook ads were going with drop shipping stores with e-commerce. And so, and you know, really at the end of the day, I got super burnt out and I quit and I sold all my stores. So after that, I was kind of in limbo. I was like, well, okay, now I don't have a business.
Pause for a second. I want to take two steps back. Before the e-commerce, right? Mm-hmm. You were an engineer.
Yeah.
Right. You went to school for engineering. Mm-hmm. You had an engineering job as well.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I was a bridge engineer for 7 years. I graduated with a degree in civil engineering. I even got my master's in construction engineering. And so the story goes that back in 2016 in the summer, I had my first trip to Europe with my family. Only like a 20-day trip, but that was literally the trip that made me want to become an entrepreneur, location independent, you know, all this lifestyle that we have now. And so I just looked for a way to do that. I was like, I'll do network marketing. I don't care. You know, I was like, I was going to build an Amway business, you know? And so that is, that's what happened. I took the very traditional route. My vision was retire at age 61 with the government. I worked for the government. So
you were
really
out there, you were out there like on site building bridges.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Did you ever do like the little, like the popsicle stick bridges back in the day? You know what I'm talking about?
Not really. No. It was funny. Like there was one project I had where I was the only girl. It was in Idaho. It was in the mountains and I would have my little, you know, hard hat and my vest. And it was a true bridge construction project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Touche. Okay, cool. So you basically went from engineer. Then you're like, I got to figure out something else. I got to figure out a way to make money online. I want to be location independent. I want to be able to live the life of an entrepreneur. And so you're like, okay, what's the next best thing? E-commerce. That didn't work out because YouTube ads were rising. Facebook ads were rising and the margins weren't working out. So you just started a channel and you're just like, screw it, I'll just make videos. Or like, what happened?
So during that time when I was, when I had stopped e-com, I was actually moving out of the United States because I'm like, well, okay, I don't have a job anymore because I had taken the leap. And when I did start e-commerce, within that first 6 months, I was like, I'm going to be free. And I just took the leap, which it was probably a little bit too soon, to be honest.
Always is.
But, you know, I was super confident and all like, yeah, entrepreneurship. So then what happened? But when I quit, I was like, well, why am I in the U.S.? Because I went to a mastermind in Phoenix, because that's where I lived for 7 years as an entrepreneur. And this guy was talking about how like his rent was only like $150 in Thailand. And I'm like, what? Like, why am I here? Like, this is insane. And I was like, excuse me. I tapped on his shoulder after the presentation and he told me like what the cost of living was overseas. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm out of here. Like, so really my one-way ticket to Thailand cost $218 with tax and with fees. I remember I still have like the receipt to Phuket, Thailand.
Damn. How long is that flight though? The long flight.
It was the longest flight of my life. It was long. I don't remember. Well over 16 hours probably longer than that the whole trip, because you have to stop like twice or three times.
Damn. Okay.
Gotcha. But so I was basically off to Thailand confident, like all these, you know, I had learned a lot of things. I had learned building online stores, branding, Facebook ads, how to write copy, just things that were all income producing activities, but I didn't have a business. So
to apply them to, basically. Mm-hmm. So you had built a bunch of skills. Okay. And you were looking for something to apply it to.
Right.
Cool. Okay.
So then I had gotten into debt actually just with again, besides student loans, because of mentors trainings, is I'm a big buyer. Like I didn't make the best investment decisions my first year, but I'm a big fan of investing in the business.
Okay. And,
mm-hmm. Sure. So between that and Facebook ads, like I had a pretty big bill to pay. So I got to Thailand and there was this 3 to 4 month period where I had no income coming in. You know, the savings was going down, everything was in the red. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to make something work or else I'm going to have to go back and get a 9-to-5. You know, it was do or die.
Sure.
And so I had just seen people in the niche in my industry on YouTube. And I'm like, you know, their channels aren't super big. Like maybe have like 3,000 subs, 5,000. And they're just talking about things that I can talk about. So I was like, just put the two together. I'm like, well, I'm going to do that too. So that's what I did. In April of 2018, I started posting just every day because it was do or die. And that started that started to generate traffic. And I remember my first sale online from YouTube. I knew it came from YouTube because my only link to this affiliate product was on my YouTube channel. It was $33.50. And I was like, I remember I was so happy. I was like, this works. And so that first sale was all that I needed.
Huh. And then you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And I knew.
So you did, wasn't it like a 30-day challenge or a 90-day challenge where you did one video every single day?
Yeah. The first 90 days I went super hard. I mean, there were some days I missed, but I mean, some days I would post double if I missed one day, but it was almost every day for 90 days.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Because
now, people that are listening are probably like, hell no, I'm not doing a video a day. Like even me, like I have a YouTube channel. You've helped me a lot with that. I'm like, mm-hmm. It takes me like at least a week to produce a video sometimes or more than that. Right.
Yeah.
So is that necessary or was that just like a kickstart that got you going because you were just diehard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not necessary. I don't advise it to anyone. I say minimum once a week is you know, very important to get the algorithm going and to get your channel on the map. Mm-hmm. If you can post, you know, hard in the beginning, 2 to 3 times a week, like it's for sure worth it, because one of the biggest things that propels your channel forward is posting frequency. The algorithm, just like really any other social media algorithm, loves posting frequency.
They want to see content.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see you're active on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. So let's kind of start. Let's say that someone is listening to this right now. They've been thinking about starting a channel for a very long time. I've been in these shoes, of course. What holds people back from starting usually? Like, obviously you coach people in this. Like, what do you see most people like stops them from shooting that first video, the second video? What's the big roadblock you see?
There's a few things that keep people from really never starting, you know, the first thing I would say is they have what I call the fancy equipment syndrome, you know, where they think they need this whole setup right here to film a YouTube video where you have 4K cameras, lights, podcast microphones. Like they just have this vision in their head that they need a Hollywood studio.
That was so me. I had all this equipment before I ever shot a video and I had it for like a year before I shot a video.
Right. Yeah. Right. And let me back up with that. When I was getting started, I had nothing. I mean, I had a laptop and my iPhone, whatever it was at the time, 6, 7, uh-huh. Which was maybe 1080p resolution. But You don't need any, I mean, if you have a light source in your house, like a window or something, you have a webcam, because this was a built-in webcam, right? In my computer, that's what is really bad and pixelated and dark.
Sure.
That's all. I mean, that's all I needed. I literally, you know, my phone and my webcam carried me to 15,000 subscribers.
Wow.
That's it. So another thing that keeps people from starting and producing more and more is imposter syndrome. So
imposter syndrome.
The fear of everything, but no, the fear of rejection, the fear of what hasn't even happened yet in the future, the fear of what people will say about you.
I'm not qualified enough.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Yeah.
That will just destroy dreams, especially with YouTube. You know, because you starting a channel is not like, you know, starting an Instagram or a LinkedIn or a, you know, whatever, because it's you're so much more vulnerable because you're on camera and you're, you know, potentially positioning yourself in front of an audience of millions of people. Yeah. Right. And so it's that's what, you know, literally I had a student not too long ago say, like, his channel was about mental health. And he's like, you know, but I just don't know, you know, and this is, you know, after he purchased my program, he was like, I just don't feel like it's right. I'm like, why? He's like, well, I don't have the such and such certificate. I'm like, so-and-so, you have 25 years of experience in mental health. Like, what are you doing?
You know something.
Yes. Like, and so it's
got
just
something to share.
Yeah. And so imposter syndrome just kind of snowballs into, that there's too much competition, right? Everyone thinks that YouTube is too saturated and that there's too much competition and that they stand no chance, right? Which YouTube is super, super competitive, and there's a bunch of different niches that are very competitive, but that's a great thing, you know, because if your niche is competitive, that means there's traffic.
I mean, there's a market.
Right. That means there's room and space for everybody to grow. I say, like, the more competition, the better, right? Yeah. Because just because your channel is small doesn't mean that you can't, like, compete with the bigger channels, and you can't drive traffic to build your brand, and you can't get, you can still get brand deals, because micro influencers are like the new big influencers. Now people want a specific niche. They like sub niches over somebody that has, you know, 500K subs and just
no relationship with them.
Right.
No one feels like they're close to them.
Right.
All that, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, like, you know, one of the things of imposter syndrome, of course, is like getting haters, right? Like, worried about people coming back at you, making fun of you, stuff like that. Is that a valid concern? Is that something that you've dealt with? I know you had a little hacking issue at one point, which I guess was a hater. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what has been your experience? How do you deal with haters and stuff? Because obviously you get a ton of views. A lot of people see your videos. Probably someone watching your video right now. Think about
it. Yeah, probably. Haters existed on my channel ever since probably day number 19. Like, it's inevitable that somebody is going to be there. I call them keyboard warriors. Mm-hmm. They just love to tear you down, because, you know, no one knows who they are. They don't have a profile. You could name, you know, yourself, like, you know, Johnny, whatever,
yep.
2413, and no one knows who you are. So people
hide behind that,
and whatever, they take out their anger on you, whatever situation that they're going through in their life, they take it out on you. They hate to see that you are progressing forward with building your brand and giving value to others. It's really just, I've been called, like, literally the worst, like a bitch, like, you know, some dudes from the Middle East, I could tell they're from the Middle East. They're like, you shouldn't even be on camera. Just the most, like, extreme hater comments, like, I've been called it. And
does it ever get to you?
Not now, but it used to. Yeah. I mean, I guess here's the thing. It still gets to me. There's always those first few seconds of, like, damn, like, I just want to, like, punch this person in the throat.
Yeah.
But, you know, before it would make me mad all day. Mm-hmm. But now it's just, you know,
part of the game.
Yeah. But now to be honest, I outsource the comment part. Mm-hmm. But there's always going to be haters on YouTube, but it's a good thing because that means there's engagement. So I actually welcome hater comments because my audience will always defend me. They'll argue back and forth with that hater, and they'll be like, oh my God, like Marissa's the greatest and blah, blah, I can't believe it, blah. And so they start a string of, you know, defending me, and they go back and forth. And before you know it, it's like a comment string of like 100 comments.
Yeah. And YouTube loves that.
Yeah. So awesome. That's fine with me. But yeah, I've had videos. I've had people make videos about me that were really negative. That was really, really painful because like my parents saw it, my family, and
that's how you know you're getting some attention.
Yeah.
People are making videos about you.
Yep. Yeah. They made like 4 videos about me. And so, you know, you go through a lot. YouTube is really, it could be a big mental game. It is a big mental game. Mm-hmm. Because not only are you dealing with haters, which really is your least of concerns, you know, you deal with your channel going through growth spurts, and then you deal with it going through downfalls. You know, your analytics is your best and worst friend. You know, you see
roller coaster.
Yeah, you see the green arrows in your analytics going up, your subscribers, your revenue, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, the next 2 months it's going down in the red, and you just feel like, crap, like my audience hates me. I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to reach X amount of subs per day. It really gets to you. It does. I think that's the hardest part for sure over the haters.
I mean, it's like a business, mm-hmm. right? Like not every month is just a green month. Not every month is, you know, amazing.
Mm-hmm. So. But I say like that one natural law, what's it called? What goes up must come down. Mm-hmm. Well, for sure, what goes down must come up. That's what I've proved with the YouTube algorithm. Sure. You'll go down, down, down. You're like, my channel's never gonna plateau and it's never gonna go back up, but it does. It always does. Awesome. Yeah.
So people that are just trying to start their channel, right, let's go back to that for a second. How do we choose a niche, right? Like, you know, I like business, right, to start a channel about business, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you niche down? What are some advice for that, for people that are just like, what do? I want to get my voice out there. I can get over this imposter thing. I have a webcam, I have a camera, whatever I need. What do I do about choosing my niche?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I say is, I would say a couple of things I tell people is, if you could categorize your channel into 3 words, but 3, you know, specific words, like for example, if your niche was like veganism or something like that, let's say you're a fitness coach for vegans, like maybe like the 3 pillars of your channel would be vegan recipes, vegan muscle building, and a 3rd one. Okay. Right. So that's what I would say is, first, figure out what your expertise is. And if you think like, I'm not an expert at anything, that's, you know, 99% of the time false, because there's always something that you've taught somebody. There's always an experience or a challenge that you've overcome. There's always something that someone's asking you for help for. And if you can give advice to somebody, and if you can teach somebody something else that they don't know, then in their eyes, you're the expert.
Right.
So,
and I also like, one thing that I learned is, you don't have to set the bar that high for what you're teaching per se.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like, you don't need to teach rocket science, you know, on a whiteboard in front of YouTube. Like, one of the examples, I forget who does the example, but it's like, if you're a 5-year-old and you're trying to learn how to tie your shoe and you could teach him how to do that, you're his world, right? You've just taught him something he really, really wants to learn. And it's the same thing with adults. Like, if they really want to learn about YouTube and you can show them the way, great. You know what I'm saying? Even if other people are teaching that, even if it's not like rocket science, it's still valuable to people.
Yeah. And so I would say, if you don't have your niche down perfectly, I think that's just fine. If you have a good direction, I would say just go and get started. Because, yeah, for example, your niche could alter. It could change a little bit. When I first started, my niche was very into e-commerce and also affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. And now it's switched quite a bit to, you know, I teach about, you know, course creation, obviously YouTube growth and monetization, but they're different, right? So what I do tell people, the do nots of picking a niche with YouTube, is don't pick two, you know, big markets that are just completely opposite, like cooking and fitness. You know, that's never, this isn't, you know, the times are over where where you can have a channel about everything. You know, that's just not everyone's a Logan Paul and just talk about whatever they want and grow to a million subs within a year. It's just not possible.
Gotcha. Yeah, totally. I feel that. So what I really like about your channel is basically you're very educational on your channel, right? Mm-hmm. And you do a lot of just like giving a lot of really valuable information. You do a ton of research. You basically distill all the information and then give it to you in a matter of like 10 or 15 minutes, right? Most of your videos. Is that the only style that works for people? Is that the only style that you teach, or is there multiple different things that work? What's your experience with that?
Yeah, so I think educational videos are a very fast way to grow, but it doesn't mean you have to like limit to that. I mean, there's different, you know, you could do vlog style, like, are you familiar with Lost LeBlanc?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's purely, vlog style videos. That's very monetizable. I've seen animation channels where, you know, let's say like I'm narrating a video and there's an animator that has a depiction of what I'm talking about, but it's all animation characters. Right. What else? You know, how to's, we already talked about that, tutorials. That's kind of where I go in. But there's a lot of different styles. As long as it's some form of either education or entertainment, then it'll grow. Yeah.
Okay. So some of your students, right, once they get started, maybe they post their first video, second video, third video, what are some of the things that start to come up once you start that channel? What are some of the struggles that they start going
through? A lot of students struggle with editing, for sure.
Okay.
Editing, graphic design for the thumbnails and for the banner. I would say those are the main things because those are the most time consuming, and the average, you know, person starting YouTube, they don't have those skills, like video editing skills and graphic design. Right. I didn't. I had to teach myself video editing. I never taught myself graphic design. I did my own thumbnails, but I would say, like, if you have the budget to outsource something first, I would say for sure the design, because thumbnails are really important to get it to winning the click, because the competition is it's intense on YouTube with all the different videos you're scrolling through and all the different thumbnail images you're seeing. Mm-hmm. So if your expertise isn't graphic design, surely you would want to outsource that, because there's very inexpensive, you know, designers out there that could do it for you. They could do the banner. They could make your brand a lot more cohesive. Like, with, you know, I was like posting, you know, some crap, like some tie dye and all kinds of the colors of the rainbow when I first got started. It was terrible. Uh-huh. And also when you outsource that, it not only saves your brand, but it also saves your time. Sure. And
you can outsource it in places like Fiverr and stuff like that, as long as you give them a good amount of direction.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like you got to go out there and spend $60 on a thumbnail, right? No. You can get a thumbnail done for $5 to $50.
For sure.
Okay. What are some things, if you go to a designer and you say, hey, I'm, you know, doing a thumbnail, what are some guidelines that are good thumbnails, right? Big text, faces, you know, what are kind of the things that you'd like to, general rules you follow?
So whatever image it is that you're showing on your channel, whether it's a personal brand channel, or maybe like if you have a cooking channel or something like that, where it's more object based, whatever object it is, make that object big, whether it's your face or whether it's a hamburger, or maybe if you're a fitness coach, like really high converting thumbnails for fitness are got muscles, abs. Yeah. But making sure that it has good lighting and that it's clear on the image. So that, plus the copy of the thumbnail. The copy of the thumbnail is not your entire video title. It's very different from your video title.
It's used to yell at me for this. I remember that.
Like, you don't put your video title on the thumbnail. That's a big no-no. Like, your thumbnail title is maximum 3 to 4 words. It's curiosity-based. It's a power statement. It's something that, like, it's like back in the day when there was newspaper, right? Like we would scroll and we wouldn't read the little tiny titles. We would look at the images, right? What would catch our attention? Like, you know, scrolling through the newspaper. It was something that was like, whoa, what is that? And so that's the same idea with a thumbnail, is that same thing to catch
your attention. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you do that by having large objects, mm-hmm. right? Or big faces. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of these YouTubers and like, you ain't too. It's like all the crazy faces and stuff like that. Does that work? Is that like overkill? Why, yeah, why does everybody do that?
They do it because
it works.
Because it works. Okay. Expressive faces work because a lot of people, you know, do things that just like the normal smile. But when I take my thumbnail photos, it's literally like a photo shoot. I have to prep for my thumbnail photo shoot. I have to have a list of
expressions
of 10 to 12 words, expressions, adjectives that I want to hit. And I just go through the list and then I have my props, you know, I'll have like money, freaking coffee cup, books, just things that I talk about in my video. Sure. Objects are good because not a lot of people are doing that. There's also, you know, for me, like I took a upside down photo and my face was upside down, and that was different. And that was like one of my highest converting thumbnails.
An upside down photo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I think that's your banner now, isn't it?
Actually, it is. I think so. But yeah.
I remember that stood out to me too.
Yeah.
So upside down stuff, crazy faces, big objects, mm-hmm. maximum 3 to 4 words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? Any big ones? Or those main ones? Colors.
Colors, really just be consistent with your brand colors.
Okay.
You know, I would say, you know, it would be good if your brand had a color that's, I don't know, you primary, pop color, right?
Okay.
You know, so you have your, you know, blues and purples on this side, but if you have a yellow or a red that goes with your brand, okay. that's going to be good for highlighting things on the thumbnail.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk just a little bit. This is a little bit technical, but in terms of like keyword research, you're mm-hmm. like YouTube SEO expert, right? How much time do you spend before a video actually finding keywords? And then what is like the high level process for doing that?
The high level process.
Or what are you thinking? Like if I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, I want to make a video about, you know, the best ab exercises. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's already 100 videos that are called the best ab exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking for like a long tail keyword? Or are you looking for something with a different word? Like mm-hmm. where, what is that?
So I do use a tool called TubeBuddy. It's a tool that's been around, I don't know, for a couple of years, but it's a great way. There's a free version, but if you can pay for the I think it's $9 a month version, mm-hmm. that tool will help you so much with the ranking of a keyword, because yes, most keywords, or for sure, your video titles are going to be long tail, which means 5 to 6 words or more.
Mm-hmm.
So short tail is like weight loss. Long tail is like how to lose weight in 30 days for your belly fat or something like that. So for sure, the more long tail
just means longer, like yeah. more words.
Mm-hmm. The more long tail your video titles are, the better, because that is, you know, imagine you're getting behind the brain of somebody who's typing something into the search bar. You know, they're not, well, maybe they might type in weight loss, but when someone's looking for a solution, they're going to be as specific as possible to this video. I know I am. When I'm looking for something specific, it's a minimum 6 words that I'm typing in. So with the TubeBuddy tool, what that does, it just makes your life so much easier, because you type in a long tail keyword, and it'll rank that keyword for your channel size, like how your audience has been, you know, acting and stuff. And it'll give it a ranking from poor all the way up to excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does it do that, but it also gives you like secondary keywords to use in your video, because, you know, using good keywords for your title is important, but also the tags you use in your video, you know it when you optimize. There's a section in the below where it says tags, and that's where you put in the rest of the good SEO keywords,
like related stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And so there, TubeBuddy's basically looking at like other channels, your channel, competition, search volume. It's basically putting all that together and giving you a rating whether or not you should go after that word.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I know when I started my channel, almost everything was like not super good for me. You know what I'm saying? Like looking at that tool, because I didn't have an audience. I didn't have anybody watching. So in the beginning, what do? You just kind of like look.
You can still use TubeBuddy.
You can.
But okay. You just use it. There's there's two different options. There's like a weighted and an unweighted.
Based on your channel.
Yeah, I can't remember which one you use. I think it's
unweighted.
Unweighted.
Yeah.
Because you have no data, you have nothing.
Got it.
So that's what you would use it for a brand new channel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just thinking like there might be some people on here that are a little more advanced. Maybe they've already started a channel. Maybe they've got some videos. Maybe they even have a couple thousand subscribers or more than that. Go into just a little bit of like the advanced stuff that you learned as you started going through it. Like a little bit about the analytics. What do you look for? What are the most important things? You know, is it watch time? Is it views? Is it comments? Like what does the algorithm care about? Give us a little like under the hood.
Under the hood. So what I do is I go for length for sure in my videos. A lot of my videos now are between like minimum between 15 and 20 minutes. And because what I like to do is model after videos that already have winning titles. So I don't do keyword research anymore. And I can't teach to a brand new channel what I do because you know, it's not there yet.
Sure.
But with a channel that has, you know, between 1,000 to 5,000 subs, they can definitely start doing like the method that I do, which is I model after popular titles and I make it better.
Try and do it better.
Yeah. So sure. I try to make everything better. My introduction, my thumbnail, I make it longer because if you don't make it longer, it's not going to work. And what I mean by, let me back up. What I mean by that is my strategy now is no longer keywords. My strategy now is suggested traffic and getting into browse, because that is how your channel is going to go viral. That is how YouTube is going to promote your channel at no extra effort, you know, on you.
Gotcha. So let's break that down for a second, because if you're not familiar with like YouTube stuff, right? So you've got people that go into YouTube, use it like Google basically, and type in a keyword, right? Mm-hmm. That would be just organic search traffic, right? Then you've got suggested traffic, which is, I guess, on the side of the video. That's what comes up? Okay.
Yep.
And then you mentioned a different one too?
Or
those?
Yeah. So I think there's like six or seven different type of traffic sources in YouTube. Okay. But the main ones that matter in the beginning are keyword search and also now, like at, you know, the higher or the when you gain more subs, suggested and browse. Browse means home. So you see when you go on a YouTube and you're just looking at the homepage and videos that are there, that's browse traffic. Suggested is when you're watching a video and there's a, you know, a menu of videos on the right hand side that are suggested based on the video you're watching. That's how you get a lot of clicks. Because if I'm, for example, being suggested as the next video up after a video that's already going viral, then that means my video is going to go viral.
So when YouTube's promoting your content, you're doing good.
It's game over.
That's what's up. So that's really the goal at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So the strategy is essentially do enough keyword, right? Keyword-based videos until YouTube starts pushing your content. Then you start trying to do other things better than existing videos.
And just one thing as well, like with the introduction, I mean, there's so many things, but one big thing besides the length of your video is also your intros. Because a lot of people mess up and they think that people actually care about them, which... Ouch. Sorry to say they don't. People just want you to arrive at the point, like get to the point. And so that's what you have to do. Like, you don't have to waste your time saying, you know, hey guys, I'm so-and-so and this channel's about
I went to
blah.
Peru this weekend.
And like, you know what? Yeah, exactly. No one cares. No, don't bother saying subscribe to my channel. Like, give them a reason to subscribe, you know. Tell them, give them all your calls to actions in the middle of the video. Promote your lead magnets, your webinar, whatever it is, in the middle of the video when people are like, yeah.
I've already gotten some value. Mm-hmm. This girl knows what she's talking about. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Exactly.
I want more.
Yep.
Gotcha. So if you start a video and you're just like, hey, like, subscribe, check out my thing. Anyway, today in this video, we're going to talk about this. People are gone before you even said that.
Right.
Right. They're looking for someone who's going to actually give them value first.
Yeah. Cool. And you ask like analytics wise, what I look for, that's a big thing I'm always looking at is there's this graph that has watch time and kind of like the view velocity compared to your watch time. So view velocity is like how many views you're getting at a certain amount of time. So the first 24 hours is always going to vary. And YouTube on the analytics shows like it's It's in position one compared to your last 10. It's in position three or four. So I always look at watch time. And a big thing that if that is a factor for watch time is your intro. If you're losing half your audience or more than half your audience in the first minute, then your video is doomed. Like it doesn't have a chance for being suggested or anything like that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. YouTube's like, watch
it. Right.
More than half of you aren't watching into this.
Right.
Got it.
Okay, cool. Exactly.
Cool. What are some other things that I didn't ask you, mm-hmm. right, that you see people want to know about? Anything that I didn't cover that you think is super important for people to know regarding YouTube or regarding you?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Protect your channel.
Ooh, okay.
Protect your business online. We had mentioned it earlier when we talked about the haters, but James knows about the hacking and everyone knows about my channel being hacked and deleted earlier this year, March 8th, 2020. I'll never forget. I woke up, 7 o'clock in the morning and had my editor just like 20 missed calls from my editor. And it's just, I was like, what is going on? And, my channel was gone. Like when I went to my computer, my channel was gone, hacked and deleted. And it was horrifying. Like just one of the, probably the worst thing that I've experienced in business. It was definitely a trauma because it's like, with this digital business age that we have, it could be very vulnerable. Your assets online, it could be very vulnerable. There's hackers out there. My story is my ex virtual assistant hacked my channel, and it's my fault for leaving a couple of loops. Just, they weren't protected. And so she got back in. She was upset with me because I fired her and I fired her because she was lying about her hours. So that's a whole nother story. But she not only tried to hack she hacked the channel, tried to hack Facebook, Instagram,
Vimeo,
just
everything.
Got me out of everything. And so big lesson learned is protect your channel, protect your everything you have online, your logins to your sales funnel websites, your email marketing platforms, mm-hmm. your video, everywhere that is important to your business. I would say, for the YouTube side, for sure, go into your Google account, put in that two-factor authentication, mm-hmm. make sure you have a recovery email. What else can you do? Oh, make sure you have a Google Authenticator app. All the security checkpoints, make sure you have them.
Yeah.
And as far as password security, make sure you're using, a password protector website like LastPass, because it's so important. I mean, you could lose it all overnight like I did.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Literally. I remember when you called me, you were freaking hysterical. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
Luckily you were able to get it back.
Yeah. A month later, I got it back
It did set you back.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it definitely took a while to get the channel back to where it was revenue wise, views wise, all that kind of stuff, the algorithm, the kickback in.
All of that. Eventually it got to the point, the growth where it was before the hacking, but it was crazy too, because it all happened like when the pandemic was announced. It was like COVID, channel hacked, pandemic, quarantine, great. Like it's just all these things. It was like the worst month ever. And so, yeah, revenue, I had no income. Well, I had some income like from affiliate products, and that's the important thing as well about monetizing YouTube is like you have to start with one revenue stream, but make sure you have other revenue streams. You're building your list. You're doing all these things because you don't own YouTube, obviously. You don't own YouTube. And so protect your business by building your list and having other forms of other income streams, not just YouTube your ads. Coaching, not just your Google AdSense, not just one thing. So I had, luckily like affiliate offer commission income that kept me afloat, and a couple other things. And I had my list. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And what you mean by your list is basically people that watched your channel, then went over to different lead magnets, different offers, mm-hmm. became a part of your email list.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. So protect your shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, I feel like it's always like that. It's like, ah, it's not that big a deal. Oh, I use my same password for everything. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah,
like
definitely
all bad ideas. Ah, the, you know, the Google authenticator is so annoying because I have to pull it up every time. You know, it's more annoying losing your entire business overnight.
Yeah.
Right. And losing all of your income or a good portion of your income, stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Let's just talk real quick income. A channel that's doing over 100,000, you know, or has over 100,000 subscribers. What's a good range for income, you know, that people could expect to be making from just Google ad, I mean, from YouTube ads, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really tough to say. It all depends on one metric of your channel, and that's your CPM. And that means the amount of money you're getting paid for 1,000 views.
Okay.
So all channels have different CPMs. Once you qualify, of course, for the YouTube partnership program, which you need 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours within a 12-month period. So it's tough. You know, it's tough to say, because if you have a channel in wealth, fitness, health, relationships, it's going to be higher because people have a shit ton of problems in all those categories, right?
Companies are willing to pay advertising.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's the other great point, is the more specific your channel is, the higher you're going to get paid. So for example, you know, I could probably, I don't know exactly, but a lot of people have seen this chick called Kelly Stamp. She's absolutely blowing up. Do you know who she is? Really? She's blowing up. Like, okay. Virality. But she, I'm actually making more YouTube ad revenue than her because her channel's so broad. Like, she's an amazing creator. I love her to death. But, you know, she has no channel niche. Like, she talks about, you know, clothing overhauls, and she goes to the park in NYC and dances, and she talks about eating tiramisu. And so it's like, you know, YouTube doesn't know what to play on her channel, right? But if you have a channel about tech systems, and you have, you're doing a lot of reviews about different business tools or different, maybe you have a tech channel about cameras and electronics, then YouTube it's going to be so easy for advertisers to know what to put on your channel. And that's going to increase your ad rev tremendously. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I talk about this on my channel, so I don't have a problem. But like in the past month, I did like 11,000 in ad revenue. But that's higher than normal, just to be honest. I mean, with my size of channel. So, but I would say, like, just imagine getting paid $500 a month for content that you have to produce anyway as a business. I mean, you have to create content. Period. No matter what you're doing in business, somewhere you have to create content. Might as well get paid for it.
Yeah. Awesome.
So.
All right. Well, Marissa, thank you so much for this wealth of knowledge today. If you guys have been thinking about starting a YouTube channel, you have no excuse now. You have the roadmap. Marissa, I know you've got something pretty exciting going on. You are going to be launching the new subscriber to sales program. When is that coming out? What's the deal with that?
It should be coming out this month in October. It may be out by now by the time you're watching or listening to this podcast. So, basically my subscribers to sales course is a, complete A to Z program, step by step, not only about how to build and grow a YouTube channel that sells, but really how to become a smart marketer. Like, we go deep into everything YouTube, starting the channel, setting up the channel from scratch, it doesn't matter whether you have an existing channel or not. We go through how to script a video, how to film, edit, all that stuff. Where if you're a complete newbie or new to YouTube, it goes over that, analytics, but also just the monetization piece and sales funnels and making sure you're building your list, because that's so important to growing anything on social media, especially YouTube. So it's a comprehensive program. You know, there's a support community, coaching calls, and it's a really good program.
It's definitely a really good program. I personally took the original that you came out with, last year. And honestly, it's like when you're starting a new business or you're starting anything, it's something that you really need to have a roadmap, a mentor, someone that's been there, someone that can basically hold your hand and take you along the right way. And that's exactly what this is. I had so many questions when I was starting my channel, literally from scripting videos to keyword research to what do I do with my thumbnails? A lot of stuff we talked about today. Yeah. You really like go in depth, step by step, every single thing you could think of. So if you guys have been thinking about starting a channel and you want some more help with that, there's your girl right there. Check out Marissa's channel. Check out Subscribers to Sales. Subscriber to Sales.
If you are interested in the program, you could watch more information about it at marissamorrow.com/masterclass. And the masterclass goes over everything, more in depth about what we talked about today and more information about the program.
Sweet. Yeah. So marissamorrow.com/masterclass. And once again, thank you so much for being here today. Thank guys, you. I hope you really enjoyed the episode. Hope you're inspired to start a YouTube channel now. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.